Welcome in. One more road edition, one more regular season edition of the In the Crease podcast brought to you by Baptist Health. Coach, welcome in. Coming off a big win at home. Dramatic win at home. We'll come from behind action against Bellarmine. Not quite the same as that first time around. Like we talked about, it would be a much more competitive game because they were a different team, and they definitely were.
Yeah.
So just walk us through that game for us.
Yeah, I never really found our footing, you know, going through the first three quarters. They had a great defensive game plan. I think we rushed some decisions and didn't allow the offense to play out. And defensively, a great job keeping us in it. They had a couple funky ones in the first quarter, but we knew we would be in a position to have a chance to win at the end, but had to stay poised and really proud of our group for not allowing the feel of the game to take over, because it certainly was one that swung in Bellarmine's favor for about 55 minutes. But all we needed was one play at the end to take the lead, and fortunately we were able to hold on to it at the end.
Yeah, down the stretch, let's talk through that. We had really Jack and Matt, the guys we expect to sort of run the show, were the ones who sort of rose above at the end there. But Jason with a big play, making a save, getting out in transition. Jack going the length of the field and scoring a goal. And then Jack finding Matt for the winner, and then Colin and Jason making a play on the other end to lock it down. So just walk us through that whole sequence. It's wild.
Yeah, in a game like that, when the offensive and defensive flow are unique, we leaned on our playmakers. And we haven't been able to do that in the past. And I felt like during the third and fourth quarter, when we just needed to find a way to put in the back of the net, we decided to give the ball to 42, and he found a way to make plays. And that really was the truth at the end of the game. There's really three specific moments. Obviously, Jack's pass to Matty Stagnita, where the offense was kind of broken down at that point, but we just needed a play. Colin Hinton on the ball at the end of the game, where we just needed one more stop. Jason Aquino made a big save with about a minute 30 left that preserved that lead. So there were just individual efforts throughout that last 5 minutes that allowed us to maintain the lead. And again, when we watch the film, when it is ugly like that, you need some guys to step up. And our hope is that we can take complimentary across from the beginning of the year, as well as individual playmaking at the end, and combine that as we get ready for the postseason.
Speaking of the postseason, the win secured a spot in the SoCon tournament next week in Richmond. And then later results as they played out basically did guarantees back-to-back games against High Point now.
Yeah.
So now heading into High Point to close out the regular season, does that change at all the approach to the game, or is it still go get a W?
Yeah, I think you go to play to win. I think any other message to our team would be detrimental to us,
sure,
because we play them shortly after. But, you know, we have to be aware of all the things that we're capable of being able to show, and you know, put our best foot forward, get a little bit better fundamentally, have a chance to play with personnel a little bit and see who our best matchups are, our best combinations, get healthy. But knowing that, you know, you're going to see them and then you're going to turn around and play them 4 days later. So that'll be a unique challenge for us, but one that I think certainly is exciting, because you really do get to focus on us over the next 10 days.
When you look at High Point, you know, there's some guys that the nationwide audience are going to be familiar with, but like what do they do well that'll give us problems?
Yeah, offensively, you know, when you have two guys that are producing the way they are, and Asher Nolting and Kevin Rogers, those two guys from a point production, but just the ball being in their stick for a majority of the possession, I think that they provide a unique challenge that we haven't seen. They are ACC-type players. And then, you know, really the rest of the offense, their top six is elite. And their top six is scoring. They're averaging about 15 goals a game, and they're going to provide a lot of challenges for our defense and how we can game plan against them on a week-to-week basis, knowing that we're going to play them twice. That'll be a really fun challenge. And, you know, I think that we're going to have some opportunities on the offensive end. I think that our guys are excited at the opportunity to prove themselves after this past weekend. And like I said, we're really focusing on us on that side.
You know, and then looking past High Point a little bit into tournament play, how does tournament play come into this? Because the team at this point will be really used to 6 days between games. And, you know, now you're preparing for High Point on Saturday. 4 days later, you play again, and then it would be 24 and a half, 36 hours rest before you play again after that.
Yeah.
Like, how do you keep your guys ready for that?
Yeah, incredible maintenance right now. You know, we took yesterday and just made it a helmets and gloves day, and today's practice was a really good go for us, but that'll be one of the last hard practices we have of the year, because Wednesday we'll get our legs back and we'll stay away from the field tomorrow. Thursday will be just a refinement of the game plan. Friday will be a sharpening of the axe. When you get back, you really have Sunday to put your feet up and to recover and to watch film after a long bus trip. And really, Monday is the only practice that exists before you jump on a plane and get a 1 hour practice in Richmond on Tuesday. So if you were to combine the amount of hours you have left on the practice field, it is limited, but you have to think big picture. What does that look like with a short turnaround, knowing that we've practiced for now almost 5 months, leaning on our guys to understand the game plan and be able to make plays when the lights are on.
Is there anything to going back to a venue you've already seen this year? If we had hosted Richmond this year versus having gone and played there this year, is there anything to that, being able to be in a familiar setting?
I think there is. You know, I certainly do. I think that just being able to, you know, understand what the locker rooms are, understand what the field facility is like, having the frustration of what happened to us when we were up there, and knowing that we wanted this chance to be able to go up and play on that field again, I think there's a lot of motivation to that. I also think, you know, our older guys have played big games on that field. You know, in the 2018 SoCon Championships and playing Richmond in the past, I think that that's just a place where we feel like we've seen success. We're also motivated by what happened this past spring, and we just know the route. I mean, we did it 2 weeks ago, and we're just going to kind of have the same plan with a few adjustments and be ready to hopefully play two games.
We're excited to watch it all the way, Coach. So anything you want to leave us with on the way out?
No, I mean, you know, any time you get to this part of the season, May 1st is Saturday, and when you're playing lacrosse in May, there's a different temperament to it. And I think that for us, for our fans, for our families and our alums, how excited they can be that lacrosse is still happening in May, that we have a chance to play for a championship, and that we have the opportunity to extend our season is a really unique thing, and we're going to try to enjoy every moment.
It's exciting, Coach. We'll be watching. Thanks again for joining us on another edition of In the Crease Podcast, brought to you by Beth Hassell.
Thanks. Nailed it.